You know, this all started back in 1992, and a friend at a previous church had approached me a few times because he had a Bible study at Ritchie Manufacturing over in Road 2, south of here. And he asked me to start a church with him because he stated, "These people in my study have no church." So I thought, well, that's crazy. So I looked up in the phone book, and for you young people, a phone book was a actual physical thing with pages where we had addresses, phone. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Man, they are totally worthless anymore. But anyhow, we looked up, and I found that there are 33 churches in Brighton. And I thought, man, we don't need a 34th church. So I went back and said, "Man, do you realize there's 33 churches? These people have a church to go to." And his answer, I'll never forget. He said, "Because these people don't fit in any of those 33 churches." And so I thought about it, and long story short, we decided to give it a shot, and thus began Harvest Fellowship. And we named it Harvest Fellowship because the harvest is white. Jesus says, and it's ripe, and we want to see people come to a relationship in Jesus Christ, because it's the only way we can really get through this life. And then fellowship, because we as a people want to stick together to do God's work and to have relationship together, and we want to have fun doing it. And so Harvest Fellowship seemed to encompass what God was trying to do through us and has, and that is loving God, first of all, and then loving you, loving people. And so we praise God this morning because we love Him and we love people, and He has absolutely blessed us as a church. And so we just stop, and I want to stop and just give praise to the Lord, and you can praise Him with me. Father, we just come. We thank You so much, Lord. 25 years from the start in my basement to now, and You have blessed us, and we've seen really thousands come to know Jesus Christ as Savior over the time, seen lives change. And so, Lord, all we can do is just take that platter of whatever we have seen and hand it back to You and give You the praise and the glory, because You're an awesome God who loves us and who takes care of us, and Lord, helps us during the rough times. And so, Lord, we give You the honor and praise, and we raise up Jesus Christ, our King, in our midst. And Lord, we give Him the honor and the glory for who He is. And may He be glorified throughout eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we're in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're on the last two verses, and verses 11 and 12. And if you're new this morning, and especially if you think, hey, this isn't so bad, I'm not as uncomfortable as I thought, or whatever, we are preaching verse by verse through 2 Thessalonians, and we're seeing what Paul has talked to the Thessalonians about, and this is the conclusion of the first chapter, so hang in there with me. Now, if you remember last week, for you who were here last week, Paul said that God made two right decisions, okay? It calls this right or righteous judgments, but it really means right decisions. Number one decision, which doesn't ever feel right, but is that He said He's given us to suffer, and through that, He made the right decision to do that, that we should suffer. And then the second right decision was He's going to pay everybody else back for making us suffer. Isn't that interesting? An in and out kind of deal. And now He's asking us and them to stand up to this call of suffering or hardship or whatever we see in our own lives, to be counted worthy, that we've been asked to do that and that we take it on. And it's a very fitting challenge for our anniversary. So let's read our passage together. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. "Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count or consider you worthy of his calling. Fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That the same name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, may be honored in you and in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, this is an impactful passage here, folks. I feel like the last 3 or 4 weeks has changed my life. You ever feel that way? You know, a lot of times I just feel like things have moved in my life. I'm hoping they've moved in your life to rethink who we are as Christians. On the one hand, we're praising and encouraging the Thessalonians, or Paul is, in a difficult situation, then turns around and asks them to be counted worthy, to suffer, and to stand up and not shrink back from the calling of suffering. Now, why? Because it's simply too easy for you and I to become victims and shrink back and think we shouldn't be suffering, right? Why should we suffer? Who wants to suffer? And we begin to whine about our problems, and we begin to be hassled about our problems. And he says at 11, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified or honored in you. Wow. There's nothing more powerful than maintaining a powerful faith when the enemy is against us, when we fully and completely trust in Christ. It speaks volumes about God when we hold the line, and the Bible says it's proof, and we're going to read that in a little bit, it's proof to us of God and our salvation when we stand the line. Now, this week, Jamie came in, and she was working and showed me a video of Billy Graham on his 99th birthday. Did any of you get to see that video? It was cool because he's still talking, and here he is with Parkinson's and all the things that are going on. He's 99 years old. And I think back how unafraid and unashamed he was to speak out for God. And any of you who knew and saw him in the earlier years, both in crusades or personally with presidents, with world leaders, with famous people, with big business people, he was never embarrassed. Never. I never saw where he even shrunk back. He was never embarrassed to present God in God's point of view. And through that power of faith, he stopped mouths of world leaders. And was he counted worthy? Yes, I think so. He may have another opinion because all of us feel like we don't do enough or whatever, but I look at him and he never at one point in time shrunk back. And so I think he was worthy of that calling. And here is a parallel passage in Philippians. Philippi was a city before he went to Thessalonica. Both places he suffered and the people suffered. And that's in Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 27, if you have it. Otherwise, it'll be up here. Okay. Only let your conduct, and when the word conduct means a community, how you act within a community, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now listen to 28. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, your enemies, those who oppose you, which is to them, now listen to this, a proof of perdition, a proof of destruction. In other words, when we stand our ground and answer, we're not embarrassed and we tell it like it is, it shows them they're on their way to hell. That's a powerful verse when you stop to think about it. And he says, but to you, the proof of salvation. In other words, when you stand up and you don't shrink back and you tell people the way it is, the way God says it is, it's a proof to you of your own salvation. I think that's kind of cool. And that from God, 29. Okay, and this verse is going to hurt. Okay, I'm just going to tell you right off the bat it's going to hurt. For to you it has been granted or given, it's the word given, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, and it is a gift, right, that we believe on him, not only to believe on him, but also given to suffer for his sake. So just as we have a free gift of salvation, we have the free gift of suffering. Oh, my goodness. It doesn't feel like a gift, does it? Having the same conflict or intense struggle which you saw in me and now hear in me. And so we see Paul going through this and we think, poor Paul. And he's only standing up and doing what God has asked him to do. It has been given for the sake of Christ not only to believe in him, salvation by grace, but also given for his sake, the sake of Christ to suffer. He has called us to endure the gift of hardship for his sake, not ours, but it has benefits. And that is, it brings us solid into a relationship with God. So I want to look at a couple examples of this. I want to start out, these are martyrdom. I don't think we'll probably experience martyrdom, but you know, who knows. And so we start out with the guy who came up with, or who we named martyrdom from, and his name is Justin Martyr. Let me just read this to you. Also known as St. Justin, was born in the Roman city of Flavia Neapolis in 100 AD. So he was born only maybe 67 years after Christ died. Though he was raised by pagan parents, he found truth through Christ. He became a philosopher, and his combative defense of faith eventually made him enemies of the city. In Rome, he and his disciples were arrested for his faith. He was asked by the prefect, meaning Caesar, to denounce his faith by giving a sacrifice to the gods. And he responded, "If we are punished for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope to be saved." They were then taken out, beaten, and beheaded. Their fellow Christians secretly set out to retrieve their bodies and gave them an honored burial as martyrs. They rejoiced that their companions had remained faithful and inherited eternal life. Man, it's hard when we stand up to that kind of thing, and I don't think God has called us to do that, at least at this point in our life. I don't think even the Thessalonians had to be called to do much of that. But was he counted worthy in suffering for Christ? I mean, he gave up his life, and they gave up their lives. Here's another one. Jan Hus, in the 14th century, also referred as John Hus, was a Czechoslovakian priest, philosopher, and early Christian reformer. Given he lived before Luther, Calvin, and Zwingli, and he was considered the first church reformer. He played a pivotal role as the predecessor to Protestantism. Sorry, I'm getting tongue tied here. And his teachings influenced Western Europe and had a major influence on Martin Luther King. Well, probably Martin Luther King, too, right? I knew I was going to do that. I thought I should have, in my notes, put Martin Luther, put King, and put a line through it, so I'd not do that. Okay, but he was a major influence on Martin Luther, and he was burned at the stake for heresy against the doctrines of the Catholic Church, particularly related to those on ecclesiology, which is how the church is run, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, and other theological topics. Moments before his death, the imperial marshal asked Jan one final time to recant and save his life. What would you do in that situation? Jan responded this way, "God is my witness that the principal intention of my preaching and all my other acts or writings are solely that I might turn people from sin. And in that truth of the gospel that I wrote, taught, and preached in accordance with the sayings and expositions of the holy doctors, the apostles, I'm willingly glad to die today. And the executioner started the fire. That would be tough. I don't think anybody can answer that question. Would I do the same thing until we're there, right? Was he counted worthy of his calling? Yeah. Now, those are extreme situations, I understand. Not near what Paul was addressing with the Thessalonians as they lived. And in the process, they were beaten, ostracized, and those type of things. I don't know how many of them lost their lives. But how willing are we to stand up for the gospel, folks? That's the real question. And I can imagine you found yourself in some of these dilemmas where people ask you whether you're a Christian or religious. Haven't they? They'll say, are you religious? Like, do you have a disease? Right? Whether you believe, that's not really where I want to start. Whether you believe, do you believe in that religious stuff? Or they may make negative judgments against you, even to your face, that you want to correct so badly, right? And how many times have you heard somebody say, well, you think you're so perfect because you go to church? And our answer is, that's why we go to church, because we're not perfect. But you see those things and you get kind of pushed off to the side, and whatever judgment is placed upon you, we are to answer as Christ expected us to answer, not what we think we can dance around. When people ask this, were you worthy of the suffering and the rejection of others to stand for Christ? Boy, that hit me this week. Am I willing to just be straightforward with people and not beat around the bush? And if we stand up to the call to represent him in the darkness, then the name of Jesus Christ, Paul said, will be glorified. So the moment that you answer the way you should answer someone, Jesus Christ is glorified. Now, I think that's a lot better than the people glorifying us, huh? Here's what the Apostle Paul says again. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you or consider you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified or honored in you or among you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our application today is to stand up for Christ and respond like he's asked us to do. And not to draw back and hide, and because we don't want to be considered one of those religious fanatics. You know why? It's too late. You are. Right? Isn't that true? So listen to me. We are proud of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give him a hand. We are proud of him. We are honored to serve him. And he is our, and we want to go against our ultimate enemy, who in the end, and every enemy against Christ, will have to get down on their knee, Philippians says, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want to do that now, not later. Let me close with this illustration. As a secret house church began its service in a village in communist Russia, two angry soldiers burst in through the doors wielding machine guns and said, "This is an illegal meeting. If you aren't part of this church, then you need to deny Christ, Jesus Christ, and leave right now, because we are going to gun down anyone who does not deny him." And several of the folks, you know, shaken with fear or whatever, denied Christ and ran out into the night. And the remaining group sat resolute, without moving, awaiting their pending death. And the soldiers then lowered their weapons and said, "Now that we have gotten rid of the uncommitted Christians, let's worship God together in spirit and truth." Wow. Speaks to you, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, as we celebrate our anniversary, let's consider our person, us, who are committed to Jesus Christ. Are we impacting our community and the people around us? Are we as individuals impacting our world for Jesus Christ? Are we considered worthy of His calling on us? Or are we uncomfortable, silent, and unwilling to let people know who we really are and who we really worship? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning, some pretty hard words in a lot of ways. We see the examples of these saints who've gone on before us that were willing to be burned at the stake, that were willing to lose their heads, that were willing to be beat and whipped. And we look at those, Lord, and you know, because I'm sure everybody feels that way, we want to shrink back. And can we protect ourselves, or do we have to acknowledge you in front of someone who's going to make us suffer? Lord, I pray that you give us the power of faith to stand our ground and to not waver, which is a proof to us of salvation and to a proof to them of perdition. So, Lord, help us at Harvest Fellowship to be the people of God. Help us to stand and glorify you with every word that we speak. And may we become the ministers of seeing people come to Jesus Christ as Savior, and to train them up and help them to be able to serve, so one day we can be in heaven and see hundreds and hundreds of people we've had an effect on who have come to Christ because we were willing to open up our mouth and be bold. Lord, help us to be those people. While your heads are bowed, I want to talk to you also. I know we have quite a few guests here, and some of you have just come in the recent. I want to talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, today, as you are listening, there's two choices. You have one choice, and that is to deny Christ and head for perdition in your eternal life. Or it is to call Jesus Lord and believe that he rose from the dead and have eternal life. So I'm going to pray a little prayer, and if you'd like to pray a prayer along with me, realizing you're going to give your life to Christ this morning, you just pray along with me, and the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord, the master of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. And while your heads are still bowed, I'm going to ask something of you. If you prayed that prayer with me, we want to pray for you. You need to make a declaration. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and put it back down, letting God know you meant business this morning. Just raise your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else want to give their life to Christ? Who hasn't? Father, we just thank you this morning. You're such a gracious God. You've made it so easy for us to be able to believe that you're Lord and that you rose from the dead. And one day, everybody will declare that, whether they're in you or out of you. They are going to declare that. And Lord, we want to declare that this morning and with one heart. Lord, you are our Lord, and you raised from the dead, and we believe that. And because of that, we are going to serve you to our last breath. And we thank you for that, O Lord. May your Son be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.